So last week we looked at a message about trimming your wicks, about being ready to burn bright. And I want to carry on that theme this morning a little bit by thinking about ready for encounter. I was saying last Sunday how I really believe God wants this year to be a year of encounter, where we meet Him, where we experience Him in a new and powerful way. So this morning I want to think about being prepared. And our verses this morning, if you want to follow through, we're in Luke's Gospel. And it says this in Luke 12. This is Jesus teaching. He's kind of his big teaching narrative in Luke's Gospel, the teaching on the plain. And he says this, excuse me. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamp burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. So last week we looked at that importance about the lamp and about keeping our lamps burning. And it says here again about keep that happening, keep tending to that lamp. I also look at sort of three key things this morning about being people who are ready and prepared, people who are expectant about what God is going to do in and through us and in our lives. Because you've got to be ready. Because if you're not ready, you'll miss it. If you're not ready, it might have happened and you'll never ever see it. First thing this morning is this. Be dressed ready for service. He's saying, get yourself ready. In the original text, it talks about, it says, gird up your loins. Which basically means this. In ancient days, you would wear a robe. And if you try to run in a robe, it's quite difficult because you might tread on yourself, you might trip over. So what you do is you'd gird up your loins. What that meant was is that you would pick up your robes, you'd tuck it into your belt so that you could run more freely, so that you were ready to go. So it's like girding up your loins, getting yourself ready, dress, get ready for the occasion. I remember the first week of work in this church when I first started. My first day I went to see someone called Nelly, who then later that evening died. And at the end of the week, had to do a funeral service for her. And I remember walking into the church, and Jeannie Phillips went, "You look like a Catholic priest." Because I had worn my full-on dog collar, full-on coat. See, you're a dress ready for the occasion to which you are attending. You see, there's no point. There's other verse in the Bible. So in Romans 13, it talks about the idea of take off the deeds of darkness, the things of night, and put on the armor of light. It's saying you wouldn't wear what you wear to bed out in the world around you. Maybe you would. But it's saying dress ready for what you're hoping to live for, what you're hoping to achieve. So you wouldn't wear this out in public, maybe. I mean, I am today, but you wouldn't wear your dressing gown out and around town. In the same way, if I was just hanging out with my friends, I wouldn't wear a jacket just to hang out in. This isn't my hanging out wear. I didn't sort of just come home in the evening and think, oh, for a long day, I know, I'll put a jacket on. That'll help me really relax. You dress appropriately for what you're going to be doing. You dress for the occasion, you match the occasion. And in Romans it says, take off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on something bright. Put on something that the new life that you've now got. Take off the old and put on the new. Put on something not so dark and dingy, but put on something bright. Put on something light. Something that people can see. Put on something worth wearing. Get yourself ready. Be bright in this world. In Colossians 3, it talks about, in the Message translation, I know Laura's preached on this before, saying, take off your old clothes and put on your new wardrobe. God's given you something new to wear. It says, stop wearing the things of lies and deceit and debauchery, but put on kindness and compassion, put on love and mercy. Dress ready for the life that you want to live. I remember someone saying to me once, always dress like you're going somewhere better later. So it doesn't matter where you're going, just dress a bit smarter than everyone else. Dress like you're going somewhere better later on. And that person was saying, for them, it was about actually, I'm going to dress with the expectation of where I'm going to go in my future. How are you dressed this morning? Are you dressed ready for what God wants to do in your life? It says, dress, be ready, gird up your loins, get your life in order, get yourself sorted out. And ultimately what it's trying to say is, take off the old and put on the new. It's saying, know your identity. Know who you are. Because the big crisis in our culture right now is identity. People don't know who they are, and so they're striving to try and find identity in this or in that or in the other. And I think one of the reasons why our politics and our world is so divided right now and become so extreme is because people are looking for identity. They want something they can identify with, and it becomes smaller and smaller groups of people. Because people aren't confident in who they are, so they find it in the group of people that they hang out with, people they spend time with. What's your identity? Because if you are a Christian, your identity is this. You're a child of God, as we just sung. That actually, you're no longer a sinner, but you're now a saint. You might still sin, but you're still a saint in God's eyes. That you're a child of God. And no matter what you do, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, will ever stop that or change that. You are a child of God. And when you know you're a child of God, that changes the way you view the world around you. When you know your identity, when you feel secure in your identity, in who Christ is and who you are in Christ, that changes how you can live your life. That allows you to go, actually, I'm going to take off the lies of my past, and I'm going to put on the truth of God onto my life. I'm going to go, I'm not going to choose to live with this anymore. I'm going to choose to let go of that baggage, and I'm going to choose to put on the new truth of God in my life. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, be ready. Live who you are. Don't be kind of just going, oh, someday maybe it will change. It has changed in Christ. All you have to do is choose not to believe the lies anymore and choose to believe the truth that God wants to speak over you. Take off the things of darkness and put on the armor of light, it says in Romans. And in Ephesians 6, it talks about put on the armor of God. It says, put on the things of God in your life. He talks about the helmet of salvation. He's saying, what's your thought life about? Is your thought life in line with who God is? Are the things that you think about? The Bible says, take every thought captive. In your thought life, are you constantly thinking, actually, I'm horrible, I'm a bad person, I'm this, I'm that? Because if you are, that condemning voice is not from God. And so the reason it's called the helmet of salvation, Paul's making the analogy there, saying, know that you are saved and know that truth. In your mind, know the truth of the gospel. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. It's saying, what's your heart doing? Where are your emotions at? Actually, do you know that you are right with God? Or are you constantly feeling you're not good enough? It's saying, the breastplate of righteousness is about saying, you are right with God. You are righteous before God now. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Put on that new truth, that reality that you are righteous. You've got the shield of faith. It's saying, do you know that your faith has the ability to open the doors of heaven? That you have the ability to choose to trust God? That whatever you're facing, you've got the defense of going, whatever I face, God is with me and I can trust him. You've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God and prayer. It's saying you've got this truth. Will you wield it? Will you know this truth? And you've got the belt of truth, which is about saying, actually, will you live in the life that God has for you? The belt of truth used to have bits that hung down past the testicles to protect the testicles. And if you were going to testify in court, where testify comes from, the word, is in Roman days, you'd hold on to your testicles when you testified, basically saying, on my life and the future of my children, I say this is true. So the belt of truth that Paul's trying to make the point there is saying, what's your life about? What's your life about? Do you know what you're living for? Do you know the truth to which is going to reproduce in your life? And then he talks about the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. He's saying, you know what? when you know who you are, when you know that you're clothed in this new life, you're ready to go. You're prepared. There's a peace that comes over you. See, this passage in Luke's Gospel, the bit just before this, talks about worry and anxiety. And what he says is, why worry if you're a child of God? But be ready. And it's the same thing that's going on in Ephesians 6 where it says, put on the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. Like, be prepared, be ready. Know that actually, when you know who you are, when you know who your God is, when you know that actually you're held in his hand, and that nothing can come against you because you are clothed in the armor of light, there's a peace that comes over you in that whatever you face, it might not be easy, but you've got God with you. And there's a peace that you can have that, again, it says elsewhere in Scripture, a peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't mean to say that you're okay about everything. It just means that in the midst of the turmoil of life, you know that you're held. You know that there's a God who's bigger than this situation. The Bible never promises you will not have hardship. In fact, Jesus says, in this world you will have many troubles. But he says, but I have overcome the world. And that hope is saying, because I've overcome the world, you can put your trust in me, and you've got an anchor even in the turmoil of life. Put on the new life. Know your identity, and out of your identity there will be peace. There will be a peace. So be ready. Be ready. In peace and knowing your identity. Secondly, he says, keep the lamp burning. We looked a little bit at this last week about actually, we looked at the 10 virgins story, and we looked at some of the things about the burning of the lamp in the temple last week, if you were here. We talked about actually that needing to maintain what God is doing in our lives. To keep the lamp burning. And to keep the lamp burning, you need two things. You need oil in your lamp, and you need to maintain and trim your wick. You need to keep that ready to go. There's a maintenance that goes on. We talked about last week, if you were here, about the lamp of God being eternally burning in the temple. But actually, even the eternal burning of the lamp in the temple, still twice a day had to be put out, new oil added, wicks trimmed, and then relit. And in your life, there are things that you have got to maintain and keep going. You've got to know what it is that you're living for. If you're going to maintain your life in a healthy way, you've got to know what the purpose of your life is about. You've got to know what you're living for. What's the biggest thing in your life that you value? Again, just before this passage, the last line, just before this passage in Luke, says, that those lines from the Bible say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. But the thing that you value the most is the thing that will capture your heart the most. That'd be the thing that you give the most time to. That'd be the thing that you give the most attention to. That'd be the thing that you value the most and will put other things aside for. And what it's saying is, what do you value? In your Christian walk, actually, is God a priority? Is maintaining your relationship with God a priority or not? That's not there to try and condemn you, it's just asking a question of saying, actually for you, think about, are there other things that become so more important to you that they take over your life and they stop you being able to spend time with God? Because the thing that captures your heart the most is the thing that you'll spend the most time in and you'll invest the most in. But the problem with this, there's a problem with this. If it's not aimed in the right way, we face the problem we talked about last week, is we face burnout. Because those things that we value and treasure above God will keep demanding of us and keep demanding of us and keep demanding of us and keep demanding of us. And there's never any time to pause, put the flame out, trim your wick, replenish the oil, and then carry on. And what happens is you start burning out because those things become the all-consuming part of your life. And I say it can be true, and I say this carefully, for the things that you do in church. We talked about this last week. That if your heart isn't in the right place with why you're doing what you're doing in church life, it becomes something you do, and you don't look after yourself, and you burn out. Why are you doing what you do? You see, the idea of the lamp was this, that you say of the lamp of God, it was burn eternally in the temple of God, but twice a day, morning and evening, it was put out, the wicks were trimmed, they would add new oil, and they'd be relit again. And what you've seen is in our lives, there has to be a rhythm of resting and starting. Resting and starting. And the Christian life we're called to is not to be on the go all the time, every minute of every day. The call of God is to rest and light and burn brightly. Rest and burn brightly. We need periods of rest. That's the whole idea of the creation story in Genesis, is saying there needs to be a day when you just stop. There needs to be Sabbath in your life. There needs to be moments in your time, in your life, where you just stop. In the ancient world, Israel was renowned for two major crazy things that they had in their country. And Roman writers would say, the weird thing about the nation of Israel is this. They've got an ocean that you can swim in, that you float when you get in the water, the Dead Sea, and they have a day off once a week. It was a novelty because in the ancient world, you didn't have a day off. You just kept going. You just kept doing. You just kept doing all the time. And the fact that in the scriptures, God says, you need to have times to rest. You can't just keep going, otherwise you will burn out. So the other thing that this Jesus is saying in Luke's gospel, he's saying, be ready. Get yourself prepared. Live this new life. But live it in a rhythm that sustains life. Do it in a way that is healthy and good. Look after yourself. You need to replenish the oil in your life. You can't just keep giving out and giving out and giving out and then not have anything put back in. Otherwise, you will burn out. Rest is so, so important. We have to have times to be filled. We need to have times where we stop. And we need to have times when we are relit. Because another danger is that we burn ourselves out. We then go into a period of rest. And then we think, I'm never, ever going back to that again. I'm never, ever going back to that again. And again, quickly, another story about me. When I left college, I had a mental breakdown because I was just up to here with church life. I had been going and going and going and going and going. I was trying to do university. I was trying to do working in a church pretty much full time and going, I can't sustain this anymore. And I burnt out and I thought, that's it, God. I am not doing church anymore. And it had been so easy at that point to walk away. And I took a year off to rest. As I rested, I realized, actually, this was my purpose. This was my calling. This is what my life was about. This is what God wanted for me to be doing. That I could run away from it. I could hide from it. But actually, it was still there. And it says in Romans, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. If God's put a gift and a calling on your life, it doesn't go away. No matter what you do. You see this with the person of Saul in the Bible, that Saul, even though he dishonors God, he still gets to live out his whole ministry. So if you're here this morning and you think you've disqualified yourself from ministry, you haven't, because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So rest to be filled, preparation, trim your wick, look after your life, look after your spiritual life, tend to what you need. Trim your wick, look after what you've got. I say, because if you're not sure what your purpose is, if you're not sure what your heart is all about, just look at the thing that you give most time to, and that will show you. But God's got a purpose for your life, and it's in his purpose that you will find a rhythm of life that brings life. So the question is this, from this question, is this. In your life, at the moment, are you living in a rhythm of healthy tune, or is your life currently a drone? Or it's just the same tone day in, day out, and it's just kind of getting harder and harder and harder to maintain that one note? Or are you living in the rhythm of God? Times to rest and times to do. Where are you in that? What's your purpose? Is it in who God is, or is it in finding in what you do? Live the rhythm, not the drone. And then lastly, this. There's expectation. Like the servant waiting for the master to return. You see, if you have no expectation that God's going to turn up and do something in your life, you'll miss it. If you don't expect to meet God, you won't. I said this a few weeks ago about if you see God in everything, he will speak to you through everything. If you've got no expectation that God's going to do something, you're not going to see him do it. You'll miss what he's up to. There's got to be an expectation. And so often, we miss what God is doing because our expectations of what we think God will do are so low. We decide that God can't really do that. God doesn't really want to speak to me. God can't really use me. And we tell ourselves the lie of the expectations being set down here. Now, the Bible says that God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or imagine. So anything you can possibly imagine, God says, I can do more than that. So why would you set your expectations this low? When God says, anything you can possibly imagine, I can do something more than that. I can do something more than that. And so many of us miss what God is doing because our expectations of what he's going to do are so low that we miss what he could do in our lives. I truly believe this. I believe God wants to speak to each and every one of us every single day. I believe that is definitely possible because the Bible tells me it's true and I know it from my experience. Do you want to hear God every day in your life? Do you want to hear God speaking to you all the time in your life? Because that is possible. But do you expect it? Do you want to pray for the sick and see them get healed? I do. Will it always happen? No, because God is a mysterious God. And it's about the kingdom of God. Some of the people are healed, some of the people aren't. But I still have the expectation that God's going to do something. Am I going to pray about things that are going on in our world? Or am I just going to go, that's too big to pray about? What's your expectation? Where are you setting the bar? Because God says, I want to blow that out of the water. And really that expectation, effectively, is just your faith level. What's your faith level? Which comes back to how much do you trust God? Your expectation is linked to how much you trust God. So do you trust God to provide for your needs? Do you expect him to do that? Or do you think, oh, that's wrong to ask God for that? Do you expect God to save your family? Or do you think, oh, that's too difficult. They're so far from God. I want to set my expectations really high. Because God is the God of the universe who made everything. So why would I limit him down to my level of limited faith? He might not always do what I want him to do, but I want to trust that he knows best. And I want to have a high level of expectation. I want to know who I am in my purpose and my identity. And I want to have an expectation that God wants to meet me and wants to be involved in my life and wants to do things in and through me. God wants to meet you. He wants to encounter you and he wants to help you in your life. This story goes on in Luke's gospel after the verse we just read. It says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamp burning, like people waiting for the master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes in and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for the servants who the master finds waiting for them. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants who the master finds ready. This would have blown the listeners away because the master coming back to the wedding feast was there to be served by the people who are waiting for him. And it says, the master will come, and when he comes, he will dress himself ready to serve those who have been waiting expectantly. Jesus flips it round. And what he's saying is, when you encounter God, God is there longing to help you in your life. You haven't got to try and coax God into helping you. You haven't got to try and coax God into listening to your prayers. God loves you and he is desperate to help you and get involved in your life. But will you get yourself ready? Will you maintain rhythms of life which are healthy? Will you expectantly wait on him? Because he's desperate to come and do. He's desperate to come and encounter us. He is desperate to come and bring blessing into our lives. But if we're not expectant, we'll miss it. He'll come and he'll go and we'll go, what was that about? Those old songs of count your blessings one by one. What it's saying is take time to remember all the things that God is doing. To set your expectation differently from where you currently find yourself. We've got to have great faith. We've got to have a trust of the Father that is high expectancy. So when we do that, we will see God in amazing ways and we will encounter him. And in that encounter, it will encourage us and it will relight the flame of our life. And we will find a blessing. And blessing just means to live in the joy and the happiness of God. Doesn't mean life will be easy, but there's an opportunity to be blessed by encountering who God is. So be ready. I believe God has said this is about a year of encounter. God wants to meet you face to face. He wants to enter into your life in a new way. Will you get yourself ready? Will you choose to believe that you are a child of God and God wants to meet with you? And that you can walk boldly into the throne room of grace? Are you prepared to actually recognize what's your heart about? What's your purpose about? Where are you finding life from? Actually, how God wants to bring you into a rhythm of life that is joyous and refreshing and gives you purpose and meaning. And God saying, hold me with high expectation because I am coming to do stuff in your life. Will you let me? Will you wait for me? See, it's so easy for us to pray a prayer, nothing happens, and so we just stop. We go, oh, God didn't do it, did he? But the expectation is saying, no, God, I'm expecting you to do this. So I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to come with ferventness in my prayer. I'm going to keep doing this. See, if you want to live this out a little bit, it's a bit like this. If you want to, for example, start hearing God speak into your life, you've got to sort of first get yourself ready by opening your ears. Expect that God can speak. That's the first thing, is change your belief system to go, actually, I don't hear God, to going, God wants to speak to me. Change your preparation. Change your mindset to be, actually, God wants to speak to you. That's the first thing. So get rid of the lie that God doesn't speak to you and change it to the lie of saying, God wants to speak to me. Preparation. Maintenance. Start listening. If you want to hear God, you've got to listen to him. It's not going to happen magically. You've got to spend time listening. Taking time out to be quiet to start hearing his voice. And the voice of God is something that you learn to hear. You're not just going to hear a, hello, this is God. That's not how it works. God says he speaks in the stillness. He speaks in the stillness. So spend time learning to be still to hear his voice. And I truly, truly believe this. If you spend time doing this and faithfully give yourself to this, God will speak to you. God will speak to you. That is just a categorical fact. God will speak to you. But don't just think, okay, God can speak to me. I'll try it once. If it doesn't work, that's it. Because you're basically saying, I'm giving God one shot and that's it. Become an expectancy that God wants to speak to you. Actually maintain that listening in the belief that God speaks to you. If you want to be someone who starts praying for people to see healing, first, believe like that is something that God says still happens today. Secondly, start having a go. And when you pray for people, come with expectation. This applies to so many different parts of the Christian life. If there's things that you go, oh, I wish I was like them. I wish that great person of faith that I know, I wish I was like them. You can be like them and something more, because actually you can do it. You just got to get yourself ready. You've got to be prepared. You've got to come maintaining that Christian walk and coming with expectation of faith. God is desperate to work in us. God is desperate to encounter us. It says in Isaiah 55:6, which is kind of a bit of a verse for me for the year, "Seek the Lord whilst he may be found. Call on him, he is near." Seek the Lord. He's desperate to talk to you. He's desperate to be involved in your life. Will you let him be? Preparation, maintenance, expectation. Get yourself ready. God wants to meet you. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, I pray that we'd be people who would come knowing that in you we find an identity and a peace. We find a purpose and a rhythm. We find an encounter and a blessing. Lord, may we walk in your way. Lord, again, as we're still in the early parts of this year, let us choose to get ourselves ready to encounter you. Because in that place of encounter, there's a place of blessing. Out of the place of blessing, there's a place of the flowing out of your love into the world. So may we dare to believe that you are who you say you are, and that you will do what you have promised. Let's come with that intentional faith, desire to develop and grow. By positioning ourselves in a place where you can speak, where you can move, where you can do things in our life. If only we will change our beliefs, if only we will choose to act upon those things, and if only we will have the faith to trust that when we step out, you will meet us in that. So Lord, into this week I pray you'd help us be people of faith. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.